Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
Yeah, you are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wole, and Ray Jeezy. Will T is out. We are also part of Empire Media, so make sure you check us out at empiremedia.com. Ray, we was having a great discussion about, you know what I'm saying, music, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you brought back AZ and whatnot, but now, you know, I feel you had me reminiscing, bro. Real talk, you had me reminiscing.
I just was singing that AZ classic, I'm Back. For those of you who don't know New York hip hop, and for our younger listeners, go back. Early 2000s hip hop, brother. Classic stuff. Not like it is now. Everybody's auto-tuned. Everybody sounds the same. Their names sound similar. DaBaby, Lil Baby, Fat Baby. Nah, brother. This is real hip hop. I know I sound old, but that's dope. I love sounding old sometimes.
Hey.
Perfect.
You know, so what's
welcome to Minicamp Mania with Urban Sports.
You know what, bro? Hey, you know what? Real talk, though. I never thought I would be that dude that would like reminisce on old music, but I'm that dude now. Like, I can't even listen to the new dudes, bro, because like you just said, they all sound the same. There's no originality in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody sounds the same. You know, I tried, dog. I really did. You know what I'm saying? Like, Will, who listens to all the people, like, hey, you need to listen to XYZ. I'm like, I've tried, man, but they all look the same. They all dress the same.
Yeah, we do sound old, brother. Let's try to bridge the gap a bit.
Ray, though, we gotta embrace it. This is what it is, though. You know what I'm saying? This is what it is.
Ah, well, here's the question: as we talk about sports, should we embrace the new style of football where throw the ball 40 times, or can you still run the ball down somebody's throat and play good defense and win a championship?
Yes, hey, sir. You can still run the football, bro. You can. Don't let anybody Don't let anybody do it, bro. You know what I'm saying? Don't let anybody tell you anything different. You're darn right we can, man.
Benny
so.
Testaverde's coming back out of retirement.
Hey, really? That's what we're doing
Bobby
now?
Greats can come back, so can football greats.
Hey, look. You said
so
Vinny. Did you say Benny Testaverde? Is that what we're doing? Benny Testaverde? Yo. Now we're really back. Now, hey, we are really aging ourselves. This is true. We are aging ourselves.
He played for the Ravens, baby.
Who didn't he play for, bro? He played for the Jets, the Ravens, the Cleveland Browns. Like, who didn't he play for? Didn't he play for the Cleveland Browns? Am I off on that one?
Don't hate on Benny.
Oh, is that Bernie Kosar? I keep getting them confused, man.
Yeah, that was Bernie Kosar.
That was Bernie Kosar. Damn, see, I'm aging myself for real. Now this is getting real. Like, this is getting actually really real. All right, so Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeart Radio, and Google Podcast. Just search the urban sports scene.
Lake Lewis.
As you can tell, you can hear our guests. But Ray, you want to do the next read?
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options and local news held for all of the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content. And please don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. You can also tweet me directly at Urban Sports _. I had to throw that in there.
I see.
Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T is not in the building, so we'll late.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. I like how you did that little sneak. I appreciate
that.
You, but I like how you gave yourself like a sneak little plug, though. I respect that. Hey, here's what we have on tap. Sports Journey's Washington football team reporter Lake Lewis Jr. will jump on the show to give us the 411 on what happened during Washington's minicamp at 8:25. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards reportedly could be sticking with head coach Scott Brooks, because I was off, man. Somebody was getting on me on social media. Finally, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. Hey, but first, right now, we have former USA Today senior Washington football team reporter and current Sports Journey's Washington football team reporter Lake Lewis Jr. on the line. What's good, Lake?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good, man. How's everything
Minicamp
going
with Mania?
I know, right? Everybody's Minicamp a fan of Minicamp.
Mania. Come on, Lake. I know you've seen the headlines. Two are throwing five picks in Minicamp big deal right now. He's going to have a great season, probably.
Hey, man. You know, you can't get too high. You can't get too low with Minicamp. But, I mean, I know I saw a couple highs out there this year that, you know, we'll probably talk about here shortly.
Okay, definitely. No, Ray, you know, okay. Ray, because I did hear about, we talk about Tua. Like, and people don't put in the context that I heard it was like a monsoon out there, but you know, everybody's boosted that he threw. Like, I heard there's Washington fans are like, I'm glad we didn't trade up and get Tua. I'm like, dude,
I know, I saw that,
bro. It's minicamp. Can we chill?
There we go.
Can we chill a little bit? Like, we already writing people off minicamp. Okay, I see you.
I think this is a product now of having, you know, the draft special.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule announcing specials, and you know, everything is like such a big deal that, you know, fans now look at minicamp as, you know, training camp.
Yeah,
minicamp is training camp. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's you know, it's getting your guys all together, you know, back pretty much for the first time with the rookies, and you know, you're working through different things. I mean, a lot of times you have new faces because of free agency. This team has a new quarterback, obviously, which is the most important position on the field. And, you know, I did say this over the 3 days of minicamp. You know, I was there every day.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, Taylor Heinicke looked like the best quarterback.
Right,
but it was minicamp.
So yeah.
I'm tailoring, no pun intended, I'm tailoring what I'm saying.
I like it. I like it.
You know, I'm just tailoring it down just because people were literally saying that there's got to be a quarterback controversy. I'll say this, if Taylor Heinicke plays, you know, throughout the preseason and training camp, mm-hmm. the way he's looked in minicamp, your eyes will tell you that there should be a quarterback controversy.
Ooh, okay. So let's get right into it. Me speaking of the quarterback play, as a whole, how did the quarterback group look at minicamp?
I mean, they did some things well, and then they did some things not so well. Mm-hmm. I will say it was definitely more advanced quarterback play than what we saw last year at this time.
Gotcha.
You know, and Alex Smith, you know, we know the story with him. But last year in minicamp, I don't think anybody thought, you know, that he was going to hit the field. I thought everyone thought it was just a feel-good story, you know, to see him back in his uniform or his pads, and then that would be it. You know, we obviously know he went on to start some games, win some games, and pretty much helped his team get to the playoffs. But I think if you look at the quarterbacks they have now, Kyle Allen is back. You know, I kind of surprised me because I wasn't sure if he was going to be back from his, you know, leg injury so soon. But he was out there competing. Taylor Heinicke, obviously, we just talked about him, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Steven Montez was out there as well. So I just thought that they looked more professional as a unit. It just looked like the offense could do some things. The offense made some big plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, they Thyami Brown looked man, mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's got a chance to be really good. He was blowing the lid off the defense all day. And, you know, if you can get that kind of production and get the quarterback to throw the ball down the field this year, I think the offense will be much improved because of their quarterbacks.
All right, the quarterback's looking good. Bring back Jim Zorn, baby. Let's get it. let's make this.
I hate you, bro.
All jokes aside, Coach Rivera made it seem like there's going to be a serious quarterback competition. However, from what I'm hearing, Taylor Heinicke did not take one snap with the first unit. Do you believe that there's really a controversy, or is he trying to sort of hide his hand from the media at this point?
No, I think he doesn't want a controversy. One thing we know about Ron Rivera is, you know, he wants consistency. And I think mm-hmm. he wants whoever his quarterback's going to be, I think he wants that quarterback to be there from day one and be there through week 17 or week 18 now. So, you know, I just feel like from what we saw, and I'm not the only person who was out there to felt this way, you know, that, mm-hmm. you know, the first day was like, okay, first day. Second day was like, you know, Taylor was doing some things out there. Third day was like, he's looking better right now. I mean, that's just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
His deep ball was better. But let's be honest, Fitzpatrick hasn't been here. You know, these were his first really official practices. And they're not even considered official practices because there's still, you know, mini camp, OTAs, things like that. So I think he's just working through some stuff, figuring out the playbook. Did he look lost? Absolutely not. I mean, he looked like a pro. He absolutely looked like a pro. So I'm not, I don't want anyone to think that we're saying that Fitzpatrick just looked bad. No. It wasn't anything like that. It was just that I thought Taylor looked pretty decent out there. And when he started rolling out the pocket, that's where you saw a night and day difference between the two. There were obviously you can't hit a quarterback right now or anything like that, but there were times that if they were able to hit Fitzpatrick getting out the pocket, he would have got blown up. And then there were times when Heinicke got out the pocket, he actually made some nice throws down the field, you know, because he's mobile. And that's what we saw against the Buccaneers. So, again, you know, if you ask the guy, you know, to get ready for this year and, you know, what did he do in the offseason, if you – I'm telling you, even Wole, I mean, you were there. If you saw him compared to what he looked like in that Buccaneer game, he looks like a different person because he's like 20 pounds heavier. I mean, he's Jack right now. Almost like, did you get too big?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean,
big Papa Pump style.
Yeah, he looks muscular in his uniform. He really does. And, you know, so he said he wanted to put on weight, you know, to protect himself this year and kind of change his style of play where he's not, you know, I guess, is freewheeling out of the pocket. But that's what makes him dangerous. And that's what makes, you know, quarterbacks who are, you know, not one-dimensional but have that added explosive burst where they can run outside the pocket, that's what makes them special. And I think this kid has it. I really do.
So he learned. So Coach Rivera talked about what happened with Dwayne Haskins, about how, you know, he said it was a quarterback competition, but there really wasn't one. He said he learned from that. Do you really think that he's looking at this situation with Taylor Heinicke and say, you know what, I'm going to truly make this a competition? Or is it just going to be, you know what, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is just average and Taylor Heinicke is, you know, as good as you said, he would still probably go with would he go with Heinicke?
Well, I hope not. I hope he doesn't have his mind decided right now because that's not fair to the rest of the team. And Ron Rivera's done a lot of things right here. I mean, he's done some things, you know, that we all question, you know, at times. But for the most part, he's always done the right thing as far as the competition standpoint. You said from day one in his introductory press conference as the coach that he wanted to make sure that there was competition at every position because that's how you get better. And he's 100% correct with that. But last year, I don't feel like there was a quarterback competition. I feel like he handed the job to Dwayne Haskins, gave him a captain, gave him a C on top of that. We both scratched our head on that. Like, who's he looking at? You know? And we saw the results of that. So the reason why you can't do that this year, although Fitzpatrick's a 16-year veteran, is that you have a younger guy, and if he outplays the older guy, you mean you go with the younger guy. And last time I looked, the last impression that younger guy gave was, this guy might not be that bad if given an opportunity, so much so that they signed him to a 2-year contract. So all I'm saying is, you know, you don't want to have a divisive locker room because you and I both know if there's some guys in that locker room that remember what Heinicke did for them.
Yeah, they like
and
him.
They may look, yeah, exactly. And they may look at it too, like if they see with their own eyes he's outperforming someone. Why isn't he getting an opportunity? So I'm not saying that that's the case right now. We're going to have this thing clearly play itself out, you know, throughout training camp and in their three preseason games. But guys, I'm just telling you, if you see what I saw and what a lot of people saw, this isn't a runaway freight train to Fitzpatrick's to be the starter.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. Right now, we are talking with Sports Journeys Washington football team reporter Lake Lewis Jr. And real quick, Lake, since Taylor Heinicke appeared to hit up David Boston in the offseason and went to his strength training camp, do you think he's going to be harder to bring down now and maybe, you know, turn some potentially negative plays into positive ones?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the gist of him getting bigger. you know, is to protect himself. Because let's face it, I mean, some of those plays he made against the Buccaneers, if you go back and play the same defense again, you know, he might be lights out. I mean, he did get hurt in that game, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he got hurt and came back. So that's I guess, a knock on him is that he has had a propensity to be injury prone. You know, either, I guess, going back to school, you know, college. But, I mean, he's got talent, again. Mm-hmm. And is there a franchise quarterback on this roster right now? No, he's definitely not there. Mm-hmm. I think anybody will tell you that. But we've seen stranger things happen where an unheralded player was just given an opportunity, whatever the circumstances were, is given an opportunity, and he ran with it. In this case, you need to got to throw with it. So, you know, again, I'm really excited for training camp to start because, guys, I'm telling you, every year we have to try to – you know, spin it positive. And sometimes, you know, we were doing it knowing, I mean, even the other side of your brain is saying, man, stop lying. Stop lying.
Right.
As you already know, 3-13 at best. No, this is a different group. And they've got some young players that are just, they're good football players. And they have potential to be, you know, sniff a Pro Bowl or two at multiple positions. Their draft class this year, if they live up to what they've been working towards, this is going to be one of their better draft classes. I mean, they've got guys sprinkled throughout. Cosme could be a starter on the offensive line. We already know Davis is penciled in as start middle linebacker. Benji St. Juice, I'm telling you, has a chance to press somebody for that corner spot.
Okay.
He really does. And then, you know, Dayami Brown is that real legit deep ball threat. I mean, he was doing work in minicamp. He absolutely was. And when you guys see him, you're kind of gonna say he could be a Terry McLaurin type. Mm. You know, he could be a fourth round, fifth round steal. And I expect him to have, you know, some big plays for this offense.
Blake, the king of the segue. Perfect timing. I mean, we talked a lot about the quarterbacks, but we know the bread and butter of this team and the strength of this so far.
Man, he's dumb athletic. I mean, seriously, man, like when you see him, you're like, he's a freak athlete. You can just see how he gets, you know, out of his stance, how he backpedals. Obviously, he's got to learn some things, but from a sheer, you know, remember Ron Rivera said we need to get more athletic and faster in the middle of the field. I don't know if you can get any more athletic or any faster from one player than this guy. So I'm telling people right now, he's found his new Davis, you know, because remember Thomas Davis was with Rivera for a long time in Carolina, and they had a lot of success there, and Thomas Davis made several Pro Bowls. Jamin Davis looks like that type of player where he's going to be, man, it's just some teams shouldn't be this fortunate to be able to draft a Chase Young 1 year and then have a Jamin Davis the next year. I mean, that's pretty scary. So, yeah, you guys will see him and like him a lot because he plays with intentions that aren't good.
Yeah, Ray and I should be down there at training camp, right, Ray? We should be down there. At this time, I'm not gonna wear all black, Ray. I'm gonna wear some white. I'm not gonna be sweating.
Lake
anyway.
Had the towel on his head last time. You know, it was like you just said, it was super hot.
Towels
and dumb hot.
A briefcase. And a nice sealed briefcase. It's gonna be like Secret Service. Nobody getting in there. I don't know how in the world you were in Richmond and all black. I mean, you probably look like you was from Richmond. They rocked it down there, but man, that's just too hot.
Yeah, I ain't doing that again. I ain't doing that again, man. I learned my lesson, man. I ain't doing that ever again. So, like, I mean, I was going to ask you a question about, like, the wide receiver core in general, but you know what? You're talking about Dayami Brown, man. Tell the listeners, man, like, how real was this dude? Like, obviously, you just stated that he could be the next Scary Terry, but how – does he have an opportunity to start alongside Scary Terry and maybe pushing Samuel to the slot?
No. I mean, well, this is the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, well, you know, It's a good point, but I think Samuels, they plan on him being on the outside too. And the kid Humphreys, you know, if he, I know he has a, you know, some concussion history, but if he can stay healthy, he's pretty good, man. I mean, you guys know I'm a Steven Sims fan, Steven Sims Jr. fan.
Yeah.
Steven Sims Jr. is on the outside looking in right now.
Yeah, I heard.
To make the roster.
Yeah,
and you know, you kind of have to take a step back and say, just because you like somebody or you're cool with somebody, you think you can't do that now, because these are the problems that good football teams have.
Yeah.
They have good players that just they don't have enough room for. So this is a good look for Washington to be able to have that kind of depth. So to answer your question about Brown, I think he's definitely going to be in their top three as far as rotation of receivers, for sure. You know, I could see 25, 30 balls as a rookie, but maybe five or six of them things might be to the house. And I'm saying that because he led the country last year, North Carolina, in deep balls. You know, I think things passes over 20 yards. I mean, and you know, scoring left and right. So he's a big play receiver, and I think you pair him with McLaurin and now with Samuels, you know, two super fast guys in their own right. It's just now you have a receiving core that has speed. I mean, like real killer deep speed. So it's going to be interesting to see how your favorite person in the world, Ole Scott Turner.
you already know. Ray's with me too. Ray is with me on this too.
I mean, we saw, listen, Scott last year, Scott Turner called some good games, some really good games, and then he had some head scratchers. Credit to, in fairness to him, they did have four different quarterbacks, and it's hard for any first-year guy. I mean, he was a first-year coordinator, offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, you could
it's
tell.
Hard for anybody to kind of establish their offense or what they're going to do with four different quarterbacks, and, you know, one of them was just bad. So.
Oh, you could definitely tell he was the first-year coordinator. That I will tell. You can tell. You can definitely tell.
I mean, he was inconsistent. Let's call it like it is. He was inconsistent. But, you know, you come back a year later, your quarterback play should be more stable, if anything. And now your running back, who you were trying at running back last year, you know, looks like he's ready to take that role and keep it. Antonio Gibson looks bigger, by the way.
Does he? So, I thought he was going to get smaller. I want him to get faster. I thought he was going to get smaller so he could be faster.
I just think his body structure is, you know, big legs. I just think his body structure is made for him to look like Zeke, and that's damn near who he's looking like out there.
Oh, wow. Did he look limited with the turf toe? Because he's, I mean, I've heard reports that, you know, he said that's going to always be an issue for this season.
I mean, and I said that. I was even like, there's no way that toe's 100% healed, but guess what? Him at 85, 90. He still was blown by people.
Wow, okay.
I mean, he still was hitting the edge on people, and they were making it a point to pass to him more out the backfield. So
thank you,
Jesus. They know what they have with him, and I don't think they would be putting him through too much if his toe wasn't you know, good enough to practice. I think he's okay, but 100%, I don't know. I mean, we will find out, but I know that they need to, in my opinion – I think Barber, you know, he's a pro. And then, of course, McKissick is more of a pass-catching back. He had over 80 catches last year out the backfield. And then you have the young kid from the area, Patterson, you know, who does look explosive. You know, he really does look like he knows his craft. But I don't know if he makes the roster. You know, it might be a practice squad guy right now. But if you're going to keep four running backs, then, yeah, you got your four running backs right there. Well, my concern is if Gibson has problems like he did last year as far as his health, do they have another, like, bell cow running back, you know, on the roster? And I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's my thing, too. That is my thing, too.
Yep, so that might be tough for them right there.
So, Lake, you've had a lot to say. You know, this is going to be the first of many times we chop it up this season, of course, because we're just getting started, which is so dope, by the way. Washington football playing well, it just makes a difference here in this area. You already know what it is. But before we let you go, who in your opinion had the best showing at minicamp?
Whew, man, that's a great question. There were a couple guys. I mean, there were plays that Montez Sweat and Chase Young were making that were just ridiculous. But, you know, of course, they had to hold up. So, you know, you couldn't finish a play. Deron Payne, John Allen, I mean, Matt Ioannidis, they were bringing heat on that defensive line. But from an individual standpoint, surprisingly, it's probably going to be the young guys. It's the rookies. It's to me, St. Juice definitely was one of my top five players in minicamp as far as standing out. Brown, Taylor Heinicke. So we got three there. I mean, Chase and Montez was special, but, you know, you kind of just expect that from them.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, what am I saying? McCain was ridiculous. He's going to be their starting free safety. You heard me say it right now.
Ooh, Mr. Versatility.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's listed as a corner right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like a Swiss Army knife guy. But
oh, we already know,
They had him back there, and they were doing too deep. I mean, he had two picks.
Wow.
And they were ball hawking.
So who was with them then? Who was with them? Was it Curl and McCain?
Of course he was.
I just wanted to make sure. Hey, Link, I want to make sure. Link, I got to make sure.
Oh, well, you know, listen, if they don't start Cam Curl, then I've got to officially call out some folks. So he needs to be starting. But, I mean, Reeves didn't look bad either.
Oh, Reeves.
I'm a big Jeremy Reeves fan.
I love Reeves, man.
But McCain just looked different back there. He just looked different. And then because of the emergence of St. Juice, I'm telling you guys, this kid is long, rangy, grabs you. He's physical. He's a player. Mm. And if they can get him super sped up, I think with Jackson on one side, this guy might be good enough that they move Fuller into the slot where he was before. And then you could have McCain go back to safety position as opposed to being a corner. Mm. You know, now your secondary is looking really different. Mm. I mean, more athletic, speed, size. So I would say McCain is my fourth. And if I had to go, you know, outside of obviously the two edge rushers, I'm going to say Terry McLaurin. Mm. I mean, he's different now. Mm. he's not quiet anymore. He's talking trash. Oh. I mean, he knows he's a leader, and he definitely, you could hear him, and it wasn't all pleasant. which was like, wow, you know, okay, he's coming into his role now. He knows who he is. But just running his routes and catching balls, man, he looks elite now. It's a big difference with him and everybody else.
Well, Lake, man, appreciate you being on, man. You know, we always appreciate you. Like Ray said, you know, throughout this season, we hope to have you on. Before we let you go, how can folks, you know, catch what you got going on in terms of your podcast? How can they catch you on social media?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You can check me out on Twitter at Lake Lewis, on Instagram, Facebook, Lake Lewis Jr. My podcast is After Practice with Lake Lewis. You know, you can subscribe to it on pretty much any audio carrier. And then also you can watch it via sportsjourney.com and on YouTube.
Yes.
And, you know, I just did one last week. Got back in the saddle and did really, really well. So I was pleasantly surprised. I'm actually firing one up later tonight. So, cool. Yeah, but I got to get y'all on, man. We can do this, but, you know, I do the Zoom thing. So y'all going to have to look fresh to come on.
Okay, I mean, I don't got the beard. No. Oh,
shot.
I know, right? That's that me, though. I know what it is. That's that me, though. I'll be fresh enough. All right, I'll be fresh. The beard is gone. We good. We're good now. We good now. All right, we good now. And don't be surprised that it did well. You should know it did well because I subscribed to it on YouTube, so it was dope. It was a dope show. But I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna be all right, Lake. I'm gonna be all right on that. I'll be all right. You can call us on. I'll be all right. All right, I'll be decent.
All right. Well, listen, man. Like seriously, like next week. I'm having, it's gonna go to, you know, every show's got guests on it.
Okay.
So, you know, you guys want to pick a day, let me know, and you're there. You're on.
All right, bet. Okay? Yeah, we'll definitely do it. We'll make it happen. Sounds like a plan, right? Right, Ray Jeezy?
So what's up? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you already know. Light-skinned brothers, we're back, man. Look at Trey Young. Come on, man. The trend is just continuing, brother. We ready.
And then also, I'm going to need to get y'all to come through, too. I have a pre-training camp remote broadcast with a player. We'll announce it. We just got everything wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably going to be two players, actually. And two players that I think people will be excited to come out and see. So we will probably announce that, if not Friday, Monday. All but, right. Yeah, it's gonna be like the first week of July. And we're excited about it. We're going to have some fun with it.
All right, sounds good, man. You already know.
Yep.
All right, Lake, man. All right, Lake, man. Appreciate you, my man. You know it.
All right, fellas. Take care.
All right,
man.
Take care.
Take it easy.
All right, again, man, hit my man Lake Lewis up on Twitter at Lake Lewis Jr. All right, it looks like there are reports that Scott Brooks may come back next season. What does this mean for the Wizards' outlook if he does come back next season? We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Safe for Aegis. You dig? Deuces. I'm your homie Wole with the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media, and I'm here to tell you about Monkey Knife Fight. Monkey Knife Fight is the fastest growing sports gaming platform in North America, while being the third largest daily fantasy sports platform. It's easy to play. Users don't have to spend all day analyzing salary caps and lineups like other daily fantasy sports sites. It also offers all the major sports plus UFC, golf, esports, soccer, college basketball, NASCAR, and much more. Plus, users won't compete against thousands of professionals with algorithms like other daily fantasy sports sites. That crap could be annoying. Monkey Knife Fight has various jackpot contests such as Home Run Derby, which is the MLB $5,000 jackpot on Fridays, and Eagle Eye, which is the PGA $2,500 jackpot on Thursdays. Sign up now and get your chance to win the bag. Go to www.monkeyknifefight.com. Again, that is www.monkeyknifefight.com. And don't forget to sign up using the code URBAN. Again, that's URBAN. That's URBAN, URBAN. Hey, help me make you great. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Wole, part of Empire Media. You can check out Empire Media at empiremedia.com. All right, there was a report that the Washington Wizards will bring back head coach Scott Brooks if the Washington Wizards do this. What does this mean for the Wizards next season?
Interesting question, because we're wondering what they're going to do personnel-wise. That's what it comes down to me. That's what it comes down to for me, because this season, obviously, were bad defensively, and they were just undersized. Raul Neto, Ish Smith, two guys that are undersized coming in trying to defend some of the bigger guards, a la Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, Gary Trent Jr. Gary Trent isn't the biggest guard, but in comparison to these guys, even Shake Milton just is going right through these brothers. Now, don't get it twisted. Ish played well, but again, just undersized. That was one of my biggest issues with this team, is you can't play small ball and expect to win when you are struggling to knock down perimeter shots. So what are you going to do as an organization from a personnel standpoint? And right now, I saw a report yesterday that Quinn Cook is going to be on this roster. And I'm like, I love Quinn because he's from PG. You know, we know his story. Yeah. Excellent shooter. Mm. However, he's undersized as well. If that's your first acquisition of the offseason, I feel like maybe not a lot is going to change, and that's what bothers me. You cannot put Scott Brooks back in a situation where he doesn't have guys who can now defend the perimeter and make an open shot and space the floor, because you already know the organization is building around Brad and Russ, and we know their style of play, and you're going to have guys, kind of what you always mention, the corner three type of dude, such as P.J. Tucker, who's also tough on defense, to come in and fill that role, who can be that two-way player that they're lacking right now. Rui is growing into that guy. He had a shortened rookie season. He had a COVID play second season as well. Yeah. So I'm hoping he'll come into his own next year. Yeah. Denny as well is young. I'm hoping he'll come back from that injury. Hungry at his size and his ability to shoot. He could be amazing as well. So it's going to be interesting. Who do you pick up? I'm loving John Collins. I'm going to keep saying it. But that's the only way that I could see Brooks possibly working, even though I don't want him back.
Yeah, you know, if he comes back, it's just, to me, it's going to be like the same old inconsistency. I don't care if you're firing folks off the staff and bringing in new people in, because I heard that report. But I just think it's just going to be inconsistency. You're going to have your peaks and valleys. You're going to have your situations where you're playing, you know, really good basketball like we saw at towards the end of the season where, you know, they had to turn up because they wanted to make the postseason. Then you're going to have play where, you know, we always talk about like, dang, you can beat the Brooklyn Nets, but you can lose to, the Orlando Magic mm-hmm. or teams like that. So I just think that if you have Brooks as your coach, you're not going to have consistent well play because you're only relying on two people to score at a high pace or produce so much for your team offensively. Now, you know, there's a reason why, you know, certain teams, if you watch, all right, we talk about, you know, Brooklyn got a bunch of ISO players, but look how they get Joe Harris involved. You know what I'm saying? Like on this Washington Wizards squad, you don't get players like that, like a Joe Harris that impact the game throughout. It's not like Joe Harris is doing ISO plays or anything like that, but he's playing his role. Like you see the ball movement. You'll have Kevin Durant who can score on anybody, make the extra pass to a Joe Harris or to a Shammer. You know what I mean? Folks like that. And I'm just using Brooklyn because they're on TV right now. I'm using them as an example. But that's the thing about Scott Brooks is that this team is so predicated on a different type of ISO basketball. So I just, in my opinion, like, you know, if Scott Brooks comes back, yeah, I agree with you, Ray. Yeah, you're going to have to add personnel, but it has to be personnel that fits what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I've heard, like, people talk about, yo, they getting DeMar DeRozan would be perfect. No, it wouldn't. Because DeMar DeRozan needs the ball in his hand. And there's no way you can have Russ. You can have Russ with the ball in his hand. You can have Brad with the ball in his hand. And then DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan needs the ball in his hand at least about 50% of the time. If you watched him play, if anybody has ever watched DeMar DeRozan play, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing that's going to have to be, you know, worked out. It's like, all right, what kind of three, because that's what they're talking about getting, what kind of 3-and-D player can they bring to this team?
Well, Larry, it's a lack of creativity. Everything what you just said sums up as a lack of creativity, and that's on Brooks. You can easily defend one pass and shoot or no passes and shoot. And unfortunately, that's what we saw a lot of this season, which we reiterated time and time again. Tommy Shepard has refuted these reports, and I've heard personally that it's unclear if he's even going to be back, which is why he's not doing anything definitive yet, because the future is not certain for him as well. So we'll see what happens. But people are frustrated because all these other organizations, we said this last week,
that's all I want to talk about.
They're interviewing candidates.
Yeah.
And what is Washington done?
But see, that's my point, right? Like you just said it. Like you said last week, I couldn't talk, but you said it last week, right? And it was to the point where, no, because it's real. Like what you said was totally true. It's like,
glad you're back.
Thank you, bro. You said something interesting. Like you got other teams making these moves. Like they're making these moves. Like this is the thing that why I think the reports are true. Have you heard them talk about Jason Kidd is meeting with other teams right now? Like Jason Kidd is out there. He's available. Why are you not at least bringing in Jason Kidd in? If you are really looking at bringing in a new coach, not to say you want to hire Jason Kidd, but what's wrong with interviewing a Jason Kidd, an assistant that won a championship? What's wrong with that? Or, you know, if your excuse is that, oh, we're waiting for some of these teams who are in the postseason, that's just not good enough. There are other high quality coaches out there that you can, you know, that you can kind of at least talk to at this point in time. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm saying, hey, you got to hire him, but at least talk to him and say, hey, this may be a good fit. Let me talk to him and see if this will work with a Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook. Because at the end of the day, this is what it is to me, just an outsider looking at the situation. I'm looking at it as, all right, and we're going to talk about this later. I'm looking at it as, all right, Brad and Russ like Scott Brooks. I feel confident enough to say that because they can do what they need to do within this offense to be productive, right, offensively speaking. So the issue is, all right, they have to bring a dude that they like more than Scott Brooks. You know what I'm saying? And win at the same time.
I have a question for you, brother, because I'm going to play devil's advocate just a little bit just to see where you want to go with this. I just heard you on consistency, right?
Yeah.
However, this team, they swept the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell played in both games.
Yeah.
This team also swept the Denver Nuggets before the Jamal Murray injury, and that had the reigning NBA MVP on that team.
Yeah.
Are they really that far off as they're currently constructed from a personnel standpoint?
I don't think
so. Don't you think if maybe they add a few pieces, they could go from being eighth to top four in the East? Because we're talking about the Eastern Conference,
yeah,
which is why I was so confident that they could make the playoffs anyway.
Yeah.
So if you just tweak the coach.
That's my point. You know, I agree.
The report, new assistants, right. So I'm just saying they're not that far off.
I don't think that
as
the
some people think.
Okay, this is the thing. I don't think personnel is that serious of an issue. Like, I don't. Like, I don't think it's that serious of an issue. Like, at the end, like, what do you want? Like, everybody can't have a big three. You know what I'm saying? Like, if folks are telling me that Russ is that dude, right? He's a Hall of Famer. Russ is a Hall of Famer. There's no if ands, and buts about it. But if the argument is, if you got a Russ, right? We're talking about a dude that gets triple doubles. Easy. Like, easy money, right? You got a dude that scored 30 easy. What else do you need for real? Like, all you need is core role players around you. You're trying to tell me that Rui can't be a good role player? To me, Rui is better than the PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker just plays better defense, but Rui's better than PJ Tucker. You're telling me that you're telling me that like we saw Denny's is a lottery pick. We don't know what Denny can do yet. We don't know if Denny's gonna if Denny can't be that dude. But Denny got potential. Like, let's be real. He has potential. If you're a baller, you know that Denny got potential. All right. You got a pick and dive dude in Gafford. You got Gafford. That is the prototypical big right now. He was a diamond in the rough for you. Like, that is the dude that you can start next season. But okay. You got Bryant coming back. A dude that you think that could be he could now pick and pop and shoot threes. And it's a guy that you actually like. So you got two bigs. Are you telling me you got two young bigs? Wow. Okay. So this whole talk about like the Wizards need this, that, and the other, they're not far off in terms of personnel. It's just that what the coaches put out. Because I'm gonna tell you this, it's only a personnel issue when the coach isn't coaching them the correct way. For instance, all right, you can watch the Clippers game and that Clippers Utah game. And then folks have the Utah series. I'm sorry. And I heard a commentator say that the Clippers bench has just been outperforming them. Utah's bench can't catch up. They're not playing as well. They're not as good. It was only an issue in the last couple games because in the Nuggets series. I mean, excuse me, not the Nuggets series. In the Memphis series, their bench role players are playing great. In game one, game two, they were playing great. It's by perception. The issue is perception and what. You know what you're playing against and how you're playing at the time. But again, I'm telling you, if you talk about talent in terms of and look at a bench a bench or role players, the Wizards aren't that much different from anybody else. Like, really, they're not that much different.
Well, again, my issues is I already mentioned size at guard, especially
you can get fixed.
There are going to be some options where you can upgrade there definitely.
Yes.
And then I love Gafford. And I know he said he wants to get bigger during the offseason, you know, gain some muscle. Hmm. But there's still no center on this roster that can guard and beat now.
But nobody can guard and beat, though. But nobody can beat up.
Well, no. Capella is able to slow him down. I've been watching it.
Nah, he gets
There are some guys that can slow him down. I mean, I know he's not 100% healthy.
He's not.
But
I think
I need somebody who can at least make it somewhat challenging for him. Like, he didn't face any challenge in the Wizards series. And you see the difference in the Hawks series where he's facing some form of a challenge. My goodness.
Well,
he still, of course, is that talented.
But
you have to be able to challenge him. I'm just saying, like, none of the guys they have right now, none of the bigs are able to challenge the best player in the Eastern Conference and who you're going to have to go through if you want to advance.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like... All right, so Atlanta series, other than the game that he was hurt, he played bad last game. He scored 30 plus easy on 30 plus even in a losing game in game one. Game two, he dominated. Game three, it's like they're not stopped. To me, there's nobody stopping him.
No.
Like, the Wizards,
nobody's going to stop him.
Yeah. He may, truth be told, scoring more in this series compared to what he did in Washington, to be real with you.
Because he didn't play in the fourth quarters against Washington, though. Another thing was they were never as a team challenged by the Wizards. Come on now.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Look at his shooting percentage, though. The shooting percentage has dipped because, again, there's guys on Atlanta that can actually at least challenge. Just like when Boston used to dominate the Embiid-led Sixers.
I get you.
You know, of course you're going to take Embiid over any center that was on Boston at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm including Al Horford. I'm including what's the white brother's name that came off the bench that brought energy. I believe he's now
on Boston. Olynyk.
Olynyk, yeah. I mean, not Olynyk is another one
for Boston. Oh, he played for. Yeah. Oh, I know you're talking about. Not Daniel Tice. You're not talking about. Not Daniel Tice. You're talking about the other
Tice.
The other guy. He used to play for Phoenix. Yeah. I know you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
He played with Phoenix too.
I know you're talking about.
I'll look it up. But they made it somewhat challenging for Embiid. You know,
you know what? You made
him work.
But
you're not going to stop a good player. You're right, but you make him work.
But
you know,
I agree with you.
And then, I agree with you.
But no. To your point, though, this is the thing, though. You know everything what those teams have in common, though. To your point, those coaches are defensive minded coaches.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just because you see an individual play, there are people around. There are people around to make it tough for Embiid to finish. You know what I'm saying? Or there's a body like. To me, like, I'm not saying Atlanta plays perfect defense on Embiid because I don't think they do, but those coaches, and Nate McMillan has a defensive mindset. Brad Stevens, we saw him at Butler. That's really his calling card. This season was a little different, but he's a defensive-minded coach. He believes in, like, being physical. His team's playing physical defense. So I'm just saying, like, it's just different, man. I know what you're saying, though. Like, when you have a defensive-minded coach, that's why I go back to the coach. I'm like, you can bring an environment of defense because that's what this team needs.
Aaron Baines,
that's what exactly. This team needs a coach with a defensive mindset. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they're going to run – like, if they're going to run this stuff, you might as well give them a coach with a defensive mindset. Like, and I feel like they'll be a better they'd be a better basketball team.
And just announced Bradley Beal is officially on the All NBA team, so he made that this season. Congrats to him.
Congrats.
Much deserved.
Definitely.
Had one of his best seasons. And going to continue to get better.
You know what? That's good for Scott Brooks, man. I'm telling you, that's good for Scott Brooks. I'm telling you, because that's extra money
that should
be coming to the pocket, man. I'm telling you. So yeah, congrats to Bradley Beal, man. So we can go to break, Ray. I don't think we have anything to talk about anymore. I think we did. Oh, no, you know what?
I do want to talk about it.
I do. Let's do this.
I'll say real quick, it's a fair assumption for Russ to get some blame for this because we believe that the primary reason he chose Washington as a destination, not just because the contracts worked out, but because Brooks was the coach here. So it's reasonably easy to assume that he was part of what is going into this wait period for us as fans and this organization. But I think it's also Brad that plays a big role.
I think so too, man. I said it earlier, bro. Like, this team is invested in Bradley Beal. They're not investing in Russell Westbrook. Like, they're not. You know, I like Russ. You know what I'm saying? But this team is. They want to make sure that Brad stays with this team in the long run. That's the goal. So if Bradley Beal didn't want Scott Brooks here, if he doesn't want Scott Brooks here, Scott Brooks won't be here. So if Scott Brooks is here, that means that Bradley Beal wants Scott Brooks. Russ can say we all know Russ wants Scott Brooks, of course, because he played for Scott Brooks when he was young. But I'm just telling you, I mean, it's a known thing. If your superstar wants your coach, wants that coach, this coach will be there, especially if you're trying to sign this player back. So that's the thing. Like, that's all I want. So, folks, chill out. Chill out on Russ.
The fan base is really unhappy, and this is how they felt about Ernie Grunfeld as well, and that ultimately led to change.
Yeah.
The people ultimately led to that change.
Yeah.
I want to emphasize that the people, because people believe that Ken Leonsis just blocks you on Twitter and then keeps it moving. No, Ken Leonsis, he does listen to the fans as well, but he's going to be a little stubborn because he's had some success his way with the Mystics and, of course, the Capitals.
Definitely. So, no, I agree, man. I agree. We can go to break now, Ray. Now we can go to break. All right, man. Game 5.
Game 5.
You want to read it? Okay, go ahead, dog.
I'm sorry. I thought that's what you were waiting for. My bad.
You good? I ain't waiting for it.
We're going to talk the rest of the NBA, thankfully, after the break.
You listen. For Andrew Shadig Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Bole, and Ray Jeezy, part of Ampire Media. You can check us out at ampiremedia.com. Yeah, I love the little old school NBA on the NBA on NBC, a little instrumental. That's my thing, man. I love it. I love that song, man. It just brings me back to the 90s basketball. Where, you know, playoff basketball was, you know what I'm saying? Our age, again. That's what playoff basketball was like, so real. Speaking of playoff basketball, man, friend of the show, Coach Monty Williams of the Phoenix Suns and the rest of the whole squad advanced to the Western Conference Finals with a sweep of the Denver Nuggets. Have they, Ray, this is for you, have they been the best team in the postseason?
It's interesting that you asked that question because we were just talking about the Washington Wizards and their lack of size. But one thing I love about the Suns is their lineup, that starting lineup is so real. Mm-hmm. You got Mikal Bridges, 6'6", Jay Crowder, 6'6", of course, 8'11", 6'11", Devin Booker, 6'5". Of course, Chris Paul is the smallest link, but you got four guys who can guard multiple positions, and that's what makes them so versatile and also so dangerous. They're also a very well shooting team, and of course, they're well coached. Monty Williams should be coach of the year. I know what happened with the Knicks,
yeah,
and I know that means a lot to the NBA, but Monty Williams was robbed because not only has he transformed a team that did not make the playoffs last season and now on the verge of making the NBA Finals, but he brought a group of players that did not play together last season during a COVID-esque type summer. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you know what I mean? A lot of teams. I ain't gonna say it's a built-in excuse, but their reasoning for some of the struggles is we can't practice like we normally would, which is all relevant. Every team is dealing with it, but Monty Williams is making it work. And then, of course, the acquisition of Chris Paul. James Jones was not looking good at that GM. Now, man, he's looking like he's gonna be named executive of the freaking year. They haven't already named that person.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how they'll match up against these other teams that are remaining in the playoffs because I feel like they match up well with everyone.
Man, I think they've been the best team in the postseason. I think that when you look at what they've done, they knocked out the defending champions in the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, when everybody doubted them, you know, especially after, you know, losing game two, they come back and then they lose game three. They're like, okay, everybody's like, okay, the Lakers are about to take flight. And then and Chris Paul is, you know, with a bum shoulder. Then you have Devin Booker stepping up. And then Chris Paul gets a little bit healthier. And you just see, you know, what this team can do with, you know, Ayton playing well throughout that series. And then you see what they did to the Nuggets, a team that went to the Western Conference Finals last season, and they swept them. So, to me, when you look at the body of work, they've been the best team in the playoffs because what they've done against, you know, high-level competition. And it's just it is. I mean, high level competition, and you see what you know. And you mentioned Monty Williams. This is a program that he's. It's almost like a college program. You know, he's running like what he had to do to kind of, you know, put his feet in the water and kind of you know built this thing. And he helped build this thing and cultivate an environment in terms of winning basketball. Monty Williams, if you're a stranger to what he's done in the NBA as a head coach, he's one of the better head coaches in basketball. You know. Obviously, he had an issue, and not an issue, but, you know, it's a tragedy happened, and, you know, it happened to Monty Williams, and that kind of derailed him from, you know, what he's done in the past in terms of being, you know, one of the better head coaches. But Monty has always been one of the best coaches in basketball to me. I mean, it's easy to be a known head coach when you're playing when you have the best players in the world, right? It's easy. But when you have talent that not everybody knows or notices, Monty has done that before and he's done it now. And this talent is great. Don't get me wrong. I think this could be Monty's most talented squad because you have a flat out scorer in Devin Booker. You have Chris Paul, a Hall of Famer, one of the best point guards that ever played a game. And he's done a great job, you know, getting a young DeAndre Ayton to play at a high level. You know, you just mentioned Bridges. You see what Crowder is doing. You see the bench. You got Cam Johnson. Like, he has done very well with this basketball team. I honestly think that Monty, like you said, like, yeah, it was hard to pick between Monty Williams and Tibbs. It definitely was a hard decision, but I know where you're coming from, man. Mm-hmm. I just felt like Monty Williams, to me, because of what the Phoenix Suns have been over the past some odd years, and for them to be a two seed in the Western Conference, that says a lot about Monty Williams as a head coach.
Yeah, I said they match up well against other teams, but not having Will Barton and Jamal Murray did hurt.
Well, Will Barton came back
at 5'10". he did the last game, but you had Campazzo and Austin Rivers as your starting backcourt. Those first two games in Phoenix, bro, they combined for 9 points.
No, I agree with you, but you know what? They still knocked out Dame Lillard.
Phoenix could have still beat.
They knocked out Dame and CJ, dog. I'm sorry. You're still playing against the MVP. You know what I'm saying? You're playing against the MVP.
Oh, sure.
This team beat Portland, a Portland team that you got one of the best players, period, in the league. Nah, I'm not going to take that away from him. You know what I'm saying? Because I can make excuses. I could say the same thing about, Phoenix beating the Lakers. You know, I'm not going to take that away. Nah, they beat a good team. They beat a good Denver Nuggets team. I don't care what it is. You got the Joker. Like, they beat the Lakers with LeBron. I don't care. Like, it is what it is. Like, you played top flight stars. You played arguably the best, in terms of top five players, arguably, if whoever you are, you can make the argument. I'm not debating anything. I'm just saying that you played two of the top, maybe top five players and knocked them out and you swept one. It is what it is. Like, I'm not taking that away from Monty and that team. They did a good job.
Well, similar. The Brooklyn Nets are facing injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Steve Nash right now is probably regretting how he coached game three, because Kevin Durant hit the pivotal three down the stretch, put you up. You're getting one of your only leads of that game, and then you go away from KD and let Bruce Brown take the last.
Yo, what was up with that, bro?
So that was interesting, because if you go up 3-0, you have your foot on their neck, and that gives Kyrie more time to heal.
Yeah.
James Harden doesn't have to rush back. So he's going to regret that. And I don't like the way the Bucks play. They're not consistent either, in my opinion.
Yeah.
One minute they're a three-point shooting team. The next minute they're downhill. They're trying to bang. Chris Middleton has to be better on the road. I'm sorry. He's very good at home. But on the road, sometimes he's non-existent. I'd be interested to see how this game turns out tonight. But if you're Brooklyn, you're still the better team, even with the injuries. You just have to get back to coaching, not heavily relying on your stars. And KD, I love KD. We all do in this area, but you got to create for your teammates, brother.
Yeah, I just think KD is the game of KD. I think KD is the most, I told you, it's the most, unstoppable force in almost in basketball history, just because of what
down
he can
12
do.
Right now.
Get it down 12. But, if they're not healthy, in terms of not having, if James Harden isn't James Harden, you know, he's come off the hamstring, he's playing today. You mentioned Kyrie Irving's out, this is a pivotal game five. I feel like the winner of this game wins the series. If they're not healthy, they're out of here. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to put it on. I mean, I'm not going to blame KD. I know a lot of people on social media are like, yo, can KD win without a super team? I mean, it takes a lot to win, in the NBA. I think a lot of people act like certain people do by themselves all the time because they just get starstruck. Like, Kobe didn't do it by itself. Shaq didn't win it by itself. He had Kobe and Kobe had Shaq. You have Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen, Magic Johnson played with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy. So, Isaiah Thomas had Dumars. The list goes on and on. Right. So when we mention these players like Kevin Durant, everybody needs a great player, but it's going to be interesting to see what KD is going to do in this game, because I just feel like this is the game he got to go for 40. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep that a buck. I think he has to go for 40. He's got to be. When we talk about one of the more prolific scorers, I can't speak. Kevin Durant is that, And no one bothers his shot but him. So he's going to have to take his game to another level if they want to pull this series out. Definitely win game five, though. Definitely game five. But yeah, I don't think it's fair for people out there to say he has to prove that he can win without a stacked squad. I mean, I don't think that's fair. And people are acting as if can he do it by himself? And again, no one does it by themselves. They need at least that second player to be at an all-star-ish type of level. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amppire Media, amppiremedia.com. So we got to speed this show up real quick. So we mentioned Atlanta, a little bit about the Atlanta Hawks Sixers series, but the series is tied 2-2. Going into game five, who has the upper hand, Ray Jeezy?
Ooh, right now, this is one of the more competitive series that we're seeing. The Clippers right now seem to have momentum heading back to Utah. However, in this series, I don't feel like nobody has momentum. I feel as though each team is playing and they're evenly matched at this point. The key is the role players. Seth Curry when he's better than Bogdanovich or when he's better than Herder, dude, they're tough to beat. The Sixers, and Korkmaz, he was balling. That's the thing that annoys me about the Sixers is it's similar to Washington. They chose to rely on Embiid in the second half when he wasn't playing well, when the role players were playing awesome. They should have kept on with the game plan that they were already, you know, implementing, which was space the court.
Yeah.
Allow Tobias Harris to at times create, use that size difference, find the open guy. Korkmaz was knocking down his threes. Seth Curry was knocking down his outside shot.
Yeah.
I don't think they should have played through Embiid down the stretch because he just wasn't himself. And to Doc Rivers' credit, he kept him on the bench. And while he did, the game was still close.
Yeah.
The Sixers maintained that lead all the way to the end.
Yeah.
So the Sixers role players right now, I think, have the edge. And for me, that gives the edge to the Sixers going back home.
Yeah, I think the Sixers have the upper hand. I just feel like this should have been a 3-1 series. Embiid played horribly down the stretch. We're talking about a guy who missed a layup to win the game. To pretty much take the lead, he missed a layup. It's not like he missed a jump hook. It was an actual layup and missed it badly. To me, they, you know, when they're not blowing leads and they're playing within themselves and not taking dumb shots, and Embiid is playing at the level that we've seen him play throughout this postseason, I don't think Atlanta can really beat this team. But, you know, they put themselves in the situation for, you know, giving Atlanta momentum going into going to Philadelphia, which is going to be a hostile crowd to play against. But I expect Embiid to play at a high level. I expect Seth Curry to play at a high level. Ben Simmons to do what Ben Simmons does, and Tobias Harris, if they're going to play that lineup, like you said, utilize him, you know, when Herter is checking him. So I just think that, you know, in this situation, going into Philly, I think Philadelphia still has the upper hand, because I don't expect Embiid to have two bad games in a row. You know what I'm saying? So real quick, also, let's go to the other 2-2 series in the Western Conference semis between the Clippers and Jazz. Your thoughts on the series real quick before we go to break, before we end the show off.
Very quickly, Marcus Morris, he's one of the key role players for the Clippers. First two games, he shot 1-for-9 of 3. This past game, 5-for-6 of 3. When he's hooping, that makes it easier for Paul George. It makes it easier on Kawhi when you have that third guy. You talk about KP not being able to play with second guy. How much better is it when you have a second and third guy that can put the ball in the bucket?
Facts.
Paul George, he's a baller, man. Everybody knows that, which is why he's heavily criticized. But unfortunately, outside of the pandemic, to me, he's done pretty well in the playoffs.
I agree.
He missed a bad shot with the Pacers, but he's always been good in the playoffs. I don't get the criticism. I think the Clippers are looking good to advance. Donovan Mitchell, his team will continue to grow over the years. He's young. Don't rush it, brother.
I think Donovan Mitchell is a star, a superstar. I'm giving him credit now. It used to be like I wasn't sure. He's a superstar. All the way he scores the basketball, his three balls has gotten 10 times better. He had a good game yesterday. I don't like 9-for-24. That's not my thing about saying somebody had a good game. I know he scored like 30 some odd points, but still, like, I'm all about being efficient. Paul George, to your point, Ray Jeezy, I think Paul George, to me, you know, this image of him being not being a playoff performer, I think people should watch the tape of him in Indiana when he went against LeBron and how well he played. And like you said, outside, other than the bubble, Paul George has put up some good numbers in the postseason. So I'm hoping that what he's done of late can kind of erase this whole stigma of him not being able to play well in the postseason. People have bad games in the postseason. Michael Jordan's had a bad game in the postseason, has multiple bad games in the postseason, but has obviously had a lot of great games, but, you know, he's had some bad games in the postseason. Same for LeBron, Kobe, Magic, Shaq, you name the greats, man. They've had bad games in the postseason. So hopefully this can erase the stigma a little bit. But this has been a great show. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, which is Ampire Media at amppiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire Media shows, as well as other great content. Again, thank you all for listening to the show. We appreciate you. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie. Yeah.